Daniel chapter number 7, and it is good to see some guests and some returning guests with us tonight here for our evening service. And I just love how not only our Sunday morning attendance has grown this year, but our Sunday night attendance has grown as well. And I appreciate your faithfulness to make the study of God's Word and the worship with God's people a priority. And so we're in Daniel chapter number 7 tonight. Daniel chapter 7, and we've been here the past several weeks and studying the prophecy here in Daniel chapter 7, but tonight we're going to focus in on this chapter and give what I would call some practical applications as to how the truth that we've discovered in this passage of Scripture should impact our lives. And so let's read a little bit. Then we'll pray and get into what God has for us this evening. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters." Now, the past couple of weeks, we've looked at the four big ideas that are here in Daniel chapter 7. And probably there's more than that, but for the sake of our outline, that's what we've divided it up in. The first one we looked at was the prelude to the dream. And what we found is that this dream, the date of this dream, was about 553 B.C. The Bible tells us here Belshazzar, a king in Babylon, was the king at the time. Historically, the events recorded in Daniel 7 took place between Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 5 in the historical account of Daniel. And God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who communicated this dream to Daniel and then inspired him to write down these words that we're reading today, so that these words are God's words given to us through Daniel. And so we looked at that together. And I won't take the time to go back through and read the dream, but the dream is a fascinating dream. And if you haven't been here in previous weeks, you can go back and read about this later. But in this dream, we discovered there are several particular aspects of this dream. There are four winds striving upon the great sea, which speak of a great conflict that's taking place in this world. And then there are four beasts that rise out of this conflict: a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a fourth terrible beast, dreadful beast, that rises up. And then the Bible in verse 8 talks about one little horn that rises up among the ten horns on the fourth beast. And a very curious rising up of this little horn among the other ones. And then at the end of his dream, in verses 9 through 12, he sees the Ancient of Days, a beautiful name for God, the Ancient of Days, sit on his judgment seat to judge the world. And the last thing that he sees in the dream is the Son of Man coming in the clouds to reign over all the people of the earth. Now, this is a summary of the particular aspects of Daniel's dream. Last week, we looked at the third big idea that's in this chapter, and that was the prediction of this dream. Because Daniel has this dream, and after he has this incredibly fascinating dream, he doesn't know how to take it. And so the Bible tells us that Daniel goes up to someone while he's still dreaming. He goes up to someone and asks him, "What in the world's going on here?" And God uses this individual in his dream to, which I believe was an angel, to interpret all the details of this dream for Daniel. And we took some time last week to notice, and that interpretation that this messenger angel gave, there were three aspects of the dream that he broke down for Daniel. And the first one that we noticed last week was he helped Daniel understand those four beasts that rose up out of the sea represented four kingdoms of the world that were going to come to power. The lion was the Babylonian Empire. The bear was the Medo-Persian Empire. The leopard was the Grecian Empire. And the fourth terrible beast was a picture of the Roman Empire that was about to come to power. So the messenger said, "You're looking at what's going to happen in the kingdoms of this world throughout the rest of history." And then the second thing that he noted in giving the interpretation of the dream is that after the kingdoms of the world rise and fall, there'll be another kingdom, and that's the kingdom of Satan. And the little horn that rises up in the midst of the 10 horns on the fourth beast represents the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom that Satan is going to establish in the end times during a period of time that we call the tribulation. That little horn represents the Antichrist that's going to rise to power. And so we studied those things last week. And then the messenger said that all those kingdoms will finally give way to a final kingdom, and that is the kingdom of Christ. Verses 13 and 14 talk about this, and he talks about the interpretation of it in the end of the chapter. Boy, we discovered last week, Jesus is coming again. Amen? He's coming again, and the Bible tells us that he will speak a word when he comes, and Satan's armies that he's gathered together will be defeated with just a word spoken from Jesus' mouth. At the Battle of Armageddon, they will be slain. Jesus will touch down his feet on this earth again, and he will establish his millennial kingdom and rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, God's throne will be set. And he will sit on that great white throne, and all the peoples of the world throughout all the history of time will be gathered together and stand before God's great white throne. And they will be judged for their God-rejecting ways. Now, we won't be at that throne. We won't be judged at that throne. Our sins were already judged on the cross of Calvary. Amen? But the sins of the world that rejects the Lord and refuses to believe in his Son Jesus Christ will be judged on that day, and they'll be cast forever into a Christless hell. And then the Bible tells us that beyond that, there'll be a new heaven, a new earth. And we don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but we know we'll be with the Lord, and we'll be with each other. And there'll be no more sin, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more sorrow. What a day that'll be. That's why we say that, okay? And so we looked at these things last week. And a very fascinating study to be able to look at these things. But I want you to take note with me about a couple verses before we pray. Verses that tell us what Daniel's response was to the things he was hearing. Let's look at verse 15. If you're with me still, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 15, the Bible says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, in the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. And at the end of that interpretation, in verse 28, here's the conclusion Daniel came to. He said, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. And my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. As we think about the truth of this prophecy, and we look at Daniel's life and his example here in the scripture, what we find is that the truth of things to come, the truth of Bible prophecy, affected Daniel's life in many different ways. And as we look at Daniel's response, the fourth big idea, the provocation of the dream, what the dream provoked him to feel, we find that after this point in Daniel's life, Daniel was never the same. And when the gravity of Bible prophecy truly penetrates your heart, it should affect your soul in much the same way that it did Daniel. And so as we study Daniel's response to Bible prophecy tonight, I want you to take the Bible like a mirror and allow the Bible to reveal some things about your own life. Maybe some things that don't line up with how your response should be. Some areas of your life that perhaps need to change in response to what the Bible has to show us here. And so with that in mind, why don't we bow our heads together and ask God to speak to us and teach us and show us some of these practical truths and perhaps that would perhaps result in life transformation for many of us. Our Father, we come before you this evening and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to take your word again tonight. And Lord, as we do so, we want to honor you in the things that are being taught. And would be faithful to the truth of your word. And I believe these applications, though very simple, can be very helpful for us in our day-to-day life. And so I pray, God, that you would anoint this time in your word and use it to bring about real life transformation by your grace in our hearts, especially for those of us that are believers. And Lord, I know there are people who are sitting here right now, whether they have understood it or not, they are not saved. And they do not know when these things come to pass, whether or not they're going to heaven or not. I pray that you would work in their heart and encourage them to turn to Jesus and trust him as their Savior tonight. And these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, as you consider the truth of the Bible prophecy that we've studied here in Daniel chapter 7, what should your response be? That's what I want us to think about together tonight. This last week, I've had several people come to me in response to what we've been preaching about from Bible prophecy, and there have been all kinds of responses. People have gotten assurance of their salvation. People have gotten clarity in understanding some things that they were confused about. People have found hope in the midst of a day when it's really hard to find hope in what's going on in the world around us. And so there's all kinds of responses that we really should have, but I want us to look at Daniel's example and understand what our response should be as believers. And so several ways that your life should be impacted. First off, the truth of Bible and prophecy, it should cause you to be sorrowful. It should cause you to be sorrowful. Verse number 15. The Bible says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. Read that first phrase out loud together. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit
in the midst of my body.
The Bible says that Daniel was grieved. That means literally that he was distressed in his spirit. He was torn up. He was torn up about the prospect of what was going to come on this sinful world. Can I say to you, the reality and the gravity of the impending judgment of God upon this world should affect your heart in much the same way. It should bring a certain measure of grief to your spirit, not for yourself, but because you understand that we are living in the midst of a world that without Jesus Christ is going to perish. And our hearts are grieved, not for ourselves because we know where we'll be, but our hearts are grieved for those loved ones and for those other ones that we don't even know, who we do know that without Christ they will perish and they will face eternal judgment without faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we can pull from a lot of examples in the scripture, and I won't take the time to do all of this tonight, but I'll mention some passages that you can look up for yourself later if you like. Jesus' response, as he considered the lost people in Jerusalem, he cried out for them in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. He cries out for them and he says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets, how often have I wanted to gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. Jesus literally says in that passage, if you only understood the time of your visitation, if you only understood who it was that was standing here and what I could do for you. Jesus' heart was literally grieved for people because they did not understand who he was and what he could do for them. Now contrast Jesus' spirit with the spirit of some of the disciples. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, he's traveling down the road, and he wants to pass through a Samaritan village. And when he comes to the Samaritan village, they find out that the Jews are trying to come, and they say, no, you can't come here, you go on. You know what one of the disciples told Jesus? He said, Jesus, you want me to call down fire from heaven and consume them? Who do you think that was? I'll leave that up to you to figure out for yourself, okay? You want me to call down fire from heaven and consume them? And Jesus looked at his disciple and he said, you don't understand what manner of spirit you have right now. And in a paraphrase, he essentially said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, I've come to save them. Now, you better believe there's coming a day of destruction for everyone who rejects Christ, but now is the day of salvation, the book of Romans says. Now is the accepted time. We are living in an age of grace where God has delayed His judgment and His mercy, and Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what Jesus desires. And we, as His followers, should have that same spirit in our lives. And so here's the real question. When was the last time you are actually sorrowful for another soul that was lost? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you shed a tear for someone because your heart was so broken for them because they are not saved? Now, that should be a common thing place for us as Christians. I heard the story about a mother one time, and actually the one who I heard tell this story was the son of this mother. It was his conversion story. And he said that when he was a young man, he was so wayward that he broke his mother's heart. And for years, he spent his life in all types of sinful activity. His mother was so grieved for her son. He said what eventually broke him is one night he came back to his mother's house. And as he came back to his mother's house, he opened the door to find his mother on the floor crying out to God for him. And she had one of his shoes in her hand. And as he tells the story, I don't know if it's literal or not, but he says, she filled my shoe with her tears. And I don't think that's literally true. But the picture there is a powerful one. When's the last time you wept for a soul? Psalm 126 and verse 5 tells us, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. God blesses those who have a broken heart and seeking after souls to be saved. Do you have someone in your life right now who needs Christ? The truth of Bible prophecy should grieve your spirit for their sakes, because we don't know how much more time we have. And as much as we like to rejoice and we like to say, even so, come Lord Jesus, even as we say that, we understand that our rapture to be with the Lord will be a death sentence for many people that are left behind in this world. And so we need to have a spirit that is broken to see souls saved. Number one, how should the truth of Bible prophecy affect your life? Well, it should cause you to be sorrowful. Number two, it should cause you to be sober. Cause you to be sober. Look at verse number 15. The Bible says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head, what? Troubled me. They troubled me. That word trouble, it literally means to frighten or to alarm. And so Daniel, after he saw what he saw, he said that what he saw caused him to be alarmed, to be troubled, to be frightened. And in response to the things that he had saw, the Bible tells us that Daniel all of a sudden became very serious about this whole matter. In fact, you look at Daniel's life, he spent the rest of his days not on the public sphere. Daniel kind of falls out of the public sphere. Why? I believe it's because Daniel became consumed with this issue that God had revealed to him. And for the rest of his days, it was something that consumed his life. And Daniel understood that there was no time to mess around. These faithful truths that God had revealed to him were imminent. They were coming. They were something that could happen at any time. And Daniel became very sober about the fact that these things were about to come to pass. And I want you to understand that over and over again in the New Testament, God compels us as believers to be sober, to be serious-minded, to be, as Daniel was, alarmed about the things that are happening in this world. Let me give you several scriptures here. You can write these down if you'd like. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night." Verse 3 says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And verse 6 says, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." We know these things are coming. The world doesn't know these things are coming, but we know these things are coming. And because we know these things are coming, someone's going to have to get serious about the work of God while there's still time. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." You know what it means to be sober? I'm not talking about being sober because you haven't drank alcohol, okay? That's not what it's talking about here. The Greek word sober in the New Testament, it speaks of being of the right mind or being of a sound mind. So many Christians today are not serious about their faith. And the reason they're not serious about their faith is because they haven't let the truth of what the Word of God says really impact their life. Now, if there was a fire taking place in this building, and I knew about it, but none of you knew about it, you think I'd walk in the room and say, "There's a fire"? Well, nobody's going to take me serious. There's a fire in the building, and I find out about it, I'm busting through the back doors and say, "There's a fire! Get out of here!" Right? What you believe about something truly should impact your response and even how you communicate to other people. But so many Christians, we aren't serious about the things of God. It's almost as if we don't really believe Jesus is coming back. And for many of us, He will come back one day and He will find us in a way that we will not like Him to find us. Busy about our own business and not busy about His business in this world. When Daniel understood the truth of this, it caused him to sober up and to get very serious-minded about the work of God. Can I put it to you this way? The night is coming when it will be too late for your loved one to hear you share the message of Jesus Christ with them. It'll be too late. It'll be too late for your coworker. It'll be too late for your neighbor. It'll be too late for the person that you have been putting off sharing the gospel with for whatever reason. Can I tell you, it's time to get serious about the things of God. Daniel, he was troubled by the things that he saw. And so we see the truth of Bible prophecy. It should cause you to be sorrowful. It should cause you to be sober. But a third thing I see is that it should cause you to be searching. To be searching. Look at verse 16 with me now. Verse 16, the Bible says, "Daniel said, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this." Verse 28, in the middle of the verse, it says, "As for me, Daniel, my cogitations," or my thoughts, "much troubled me." He talks about his thoughts. He talks about after he heard these things, he had to know more. He had to know more about what was going to take place. And when Daniel began to understand the truth of Bible prophecy, it gave him an appetite to want to learn more and more and more about what was coming on this earth. Later on, we find Daniel, over 10 years later, still hungry to learn about things that were coming on this world. Look over in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 2. Daniel 9 verse 2. The Bible says, "In the first year of his reign," this would be the reign of Darius. Now the Medo-Persian Empire has already come in. "The first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." What do we see Daniel doing? He's in the books. He's studying the Word of God. He's searching for answers about things to come. See, once God began to show him some of the truth of what was coming on this world, it gave him a desire to want to dig deeper and go deeper into the truth of God's word. And listen to me. As believers, we should be seeking to interpret the events of the world through the lens of Scripture. Do you understand, most days nowadays, to read the paper, the headlines of the paper, is almost like reading Bible prophecy. with how much things are coming to pass in this world that God said were going to come to pass. This last week, I read a headline about in Israel. Very recently, what you guys said there, okay? and a lot of the politicians, three distinct politicians are trying to introduce legislation in Israel to ban people from talking about Jesus Christ in Israel. All of this has prophetic significance. And I hear about things like that, and boy, that gets me excited. Because as you study the truth of God's word, and then you see the events of the world unfold, it just causes you to have hope, but it also causes you to want to dig deeper into seeing how God's plan is still unfolding for this world, exactly how the Lord said he was going to. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." Jesus told us to be looking to the sky. And as believers, that's something that we ought to do. And so Daniel, as he heard Bible prophecy, okay, it didn't cause him to, I hope we can get through this prophecy series really quickly. It actually inspired him to dig deeper into the things that were going to come. And I hope that this study will do that for many of you as believers, because some of you have never really studied Bible prophecy, but I promise you, it is one of the pursuits in the Christian life that God says you will most certainly be blessed for. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And so Daniel, his response is the same that ours should be to Bible prophecy. It should cause you to be searching. Let me give you a fourth truth here. It should cause you to be settled. It should cause you to be settled. Look at verse 28. Let's read out loud together the first sentence of verse 28. Let's read it together. "Hitherto is the end of the matter." That's it. That's all. Daniel, as he concludes writing this chapter of Scripture, God's messenger is talking to him. And he says, that's it. That's the end of the matter. The idea of that phrase is, it was as good as done. In other words, the only thing standing in the way of these things that God has said were going to pass, come to pass, being fulfilled, is time. But it will come to pass. And it will all come to pass just as God said it was going to come to pass. Just as sure as, and we talked about this morning, hey, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus said. Not one jot or one tittle of the law shall fall by the wayside until all of it is fulfilled. We know the surety of the word of God. And the wonderful thing is, as we consider what God says is going to come upon this sinful world, it should fill our heart not with dread, but it should fill our heart with a sense of being settled. Because regardless of how unstable this world may seem to be, we know that things are not falling out of place. They're falling into place with how God designed them to be. And no matter how out of control this world seems to be, God is always in control of the things that are taking place. Right. One of the reasons that's so important for us as believers is because that allows us not to be shaken. You talk to so many Christians today, and they are shaken. They're shaken when the economy falls. They're shaken when a person they don't like gets elected into the office. Oh, this is going to be the end of the world as we know it. I've not lived very long, but the track record of presidents in my lifetime hasn't been great. I'll just put it that way, okay? We're still here. And we'll still be here until God says that's it. But I'm going to choose to allow my life to stay stabled, settled upon a sure faith in Jesus Christ, who has everything that's going on in this world well in hand. Let me give you a verse of scripture here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him." By the way, mention of the rapture and the second coming there in one verse. "We beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand." And later on in verse 17, the Bible tells us to comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Bible says, hey, we know Jesus is coming. And because we know Jesus is coming, don't allow the circumstances of this world to cause you to be shaken in mind. But instead, comfort your hearts. Because you know what the Bible says is going to happen in the end. I said it last week, okay? I've read the back of the book, and what is it? We win, okay? And that is something you can encourage yourself with as a believer. And so, a couple other applications here, and we'll be done. A fifth thing I want you to see here, a response from Daniel. His response to Bible prophecy should be ours. It should cause you to be stirred. To be stirred. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me," and catch this, "and my countenance changed in me." Daniel, his countenance was changed after he had seen the things that God showed to him here. After he had beheld the truth of Bible prophecy, his literally the indication of that verse is that he was visibly affected by what he had learned. It had so impacted his life. And I believe that if you had seen Daniel after he had this dream, that you would have known, something was up. You would have known something of grave significance had taken place in Daniel's life. He became visibly affected by the things that he had saw. And the application is, the reality of what Christ has told us is coming on this world should visibly impact our lives. Since we know what is coming on this world, it should impact how we live in this world. It should impact the urgency that we have as we live our lives towards other people in this world. It should be a common thing, place for us to be asked by the people that are around us in our life, "Why are you so passionate about this Jesus thing? Why are you so insistent?" Sometimes when I'm leading, when I'm sharing the gospel with someone, they'll at the end of my sharing the gospel give a little hesitancy. And I don't do this all the time, but as often as the Lord allows me to, a lot of the times what I'll do is I'll say something like, "Friend, you don't know how long you have. You could cross death's door before this day is done. Tomorrow's not a great day to be saved. The Bible always says today." You say, "Why do you do that?" Because I understand what the Bible says. The end is near. I don't know if I'll have tomorrow to share the gospel with you, but I have today. And I want to give you every opportunity today to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to give you every opportunity today to respond to the truth of God's Word, because all we are guaranteed is today. Daniel was affected in this way, and I believe as believers that we should also be affected in this way. Jude, verses 22 and 23 says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." We've got to have compassion on people while there's time, and yes, even have a conviction to reach out to people. And the picture that the Lord gives us there is pulling them out of the fire. We have today to do that. If you understand the truth of Bible prophecy, it should so impact you today. Here's the final final way that Bible prophecy should impact you, it should cause you to share. It should cause you to share. Look at verse 28, the end of the verse. The last part of the verse, Daniel said, "But I kept the matter in my heart." Now that seems like the opposite of sharing, I know. Okay? But hang with me. We're in a part of the Bible where it was not time to share. In fact, God said, close it up. Just write it down. I'm going to come back to this later. But during the time period in which Daniel lived, at this point in the biblical narrative, it was not time to spread the good news because the ministry of Jesus Christ had not yet been accomplished. But we have a different command, don't we? Take your Bible. This is the last place we'll go. We'll go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. God told Daniel, don't tell anybody. Keep it in your heart. Daniel kept the matter in his heart. Just wrote it down, but he kept the matter in his heart. But for us, Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again, and then he looks at his disciples, which you and I are part of that same group. And this is what he said to them in Matthew 28 and verse number 19. He said, "Go ye therefore," say it with me, "and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." Amen. Amen. Jesus did not tell us to keep it in. He told us to get out and shout it from the rooftops. We have an opportunity as the church. We have a responsibility as the church, knowing what's coming on this world, knowing that people will be judged for all of eternity without Christ, knowing the things that we know. And more importantly, we have the answer that can save people. Right? Now, we can't save people, but we can tell them about the one who can save them. That's Jesus. And Jesus tells us, don't keep it in. You go out into this world and you teach everybody who will listen to you. You teach everybody who will give you the time of day. You tell them, I want to save them. And we have time to do that today. We have time, you have time right now, because as long as the Lord tarries, to share the gospel with the people that God has placed into your life. And as we think about what's coming on this world, a response that should be common for us as believers is that we ought to want to share the truth of the gospel every opportunity that the Lord gives us to be able to do so. So as you consider God's grand prophetic plan for this world, what will your response be? Is it just going to be head knowledge? Well, I learned some things. This going to be a review for you? Or as you really consider the gravity of what God says is coming on the world, are you going to let it impact your life like it impacted Daniel's life? You see, we've looked tonight at several things. It should cause you, the truth of Bible prophecy should cause you to be sorrowful for souls. It should cause you to be sober. It's time to get serious about the things of God. It's time to stop playing around, believers. It should cause you to be searching, digging for more truth about things to come. It should cause you to be settled. Realize God's got everything in hand. You know what His plan is. It should cause you to be stirred. Stirred for reaching people, and it should cause you to share the hope of the gospel every opportunity God gives you to do it. What will your response be?